Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
With Chad Brown, former CU Buffalo, Seattle Seahawk, Pittsburgh Steeler, New England Patriot.
John Muir, Mighty, Mighty Mustang. It's my high school.
What was the name of the high school?
John Muir.
John Muir?
Yeah, like the naturalist John Muir. Muir Woods up in Northern California. You're not familiar with John Muir.
You notice his vacant look on my face?
Yes, you're very East Coast
very,
dude.
Well, no. I mean, I've been in Colorado for the last 20 years. I don't know John Muir.
He's a world-famous naturalist who, like, you know.
What's a naturalist?
He walked through California and discovered Redwood Forest.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like, you know, like a West Coast Walden or Thoreau.
Very similar.
Ah, see? Yes.
There you go.
I redeemed myself.
You did. You brought it back. And then one more team, the Pasadena Bulldogs.
Uh-huh.
Of course, when we were really little, we were the Bull Pups.
Okay, the Bull Pups, right.
My Pop Warner teams.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing. Every once in a while, you'll just pull something out of the ether that you clearly picked up in high school or college. That just sort of, all right, I'm glad I did it. I got something out of it, you know?
Yeah.
I was able to just use a little bit of that right there. That's good. It doesn't happen that often. Well, great to have you in here.
Well,
and
with Mark here, I doubt Thoreau is.
Thoreau never really gets mentioned.
Yes,
no.
Mentioned on the morning
no,
show.
No, we do not have much Thoreau, Walden.
On Walden Pond.
Not many references to those guys, no. Although I'm looking up at the big board of possibilities and free agent fever, and there's a spot for you, and it's blank, both of them.
Yes, this is true.
The afternoon guys are not going to like this.
This is true.
They don't like it when you don't participate in their reindeer games.
Well, if they want to come over to my house and pack up the place where I've lived for the last 17 years, I'm selling my home.
Oh, okay.
So if they want to come over and help out with that, so I can get my wall of possibilities
well,
going.
Let's just maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe DeHoff
sure.
Back there can jot down some notes, and we can pass this along to Richie. So let's start with free agency for the Broncos. Where would you look at and say, and I'm not even asking for specific names yet, but just what does this team need?
Cornerbacks.
Cornerbacks.
Cornerbacks. You cannot play defense in the NFL, much less this division, with these quarterbacks without cornerbacks. And we saw what happened when the Broncos had some injuries. There was no depth. Who's your starter now? Who's your number one guy? Right.
I think it's Michael Ojemudia.
Right. That's not going to win you a whole lot of football games.
And I guess Bryce Callahan.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, right.
So I think cornerback is just so critically important. You can't exist in this division without quality cornerback play. And you just don't need two. You need at least three.
Whew. Yeah, they really do, don't they?
Yeah, and cornerback is, you know, it's like quarterback, it's like left tackle, it's like pass rusher. It's the top four positions in the NFL, the top highest paid positions. You can't exist without those guys.
Where's the best bet to find the corners you need? Free agency or the draft? Because listen, I see so many mock drafts that have the Broncos taking a corner.
Because it's clearly a position of need.
And you know what it's like. You know what this offseason's been like. You know where the chatter is. Man, if George Payton steps up there and his first draft pick is a corner at number 9, people are going to just be, wah, wah, wah.
Well,
even though it would be the smart, reasonable, pragmatic thing to do, it's certainly not going to be sexy.
Well, there's this whole Deshaun Watson conversation that's happening that could then make that first pick, even if it's not the ninth
yes.
pick, being a cornerback more acceptable for Bronco country.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So there's that.
But it is a huge need.
Huge!
2 to 3, huh? Really, they need three.
You need three. You need, you have to have three. And then you hope those guys stay healthy, because then now you're playing your fourth corner. And these offensive coordinators are very good at getting their best receiver on your fourth corner if your fourth corner is out there.
Now, I'm a little surprised you said corner, because you played linebacker.
Yeah.
And I've been banging the table for them to take a linebacker for 2 years now. I loved Devin White, and then when it became clear that he was going to be out of reach, I loved the idea of Devin Bush. Last year, I loved the idea of Kenneth Murray or Patrick Queen. This year, I'm loving the idea again of Micah Parsons or the kid from Notre Dame, Koromoa. I watch what these linebackers are doing in the NFL, and it came to a crescendo in that Super Bowl, watching Devin White and Levante David. I want one of them. I want one of them. And no disrespect to Alexander Johnson or Josie Jewell, they're not them.
No.
I want one.
Yeah, Johnson and Jewell, good players, not playmaking guys, not guys who can change the tide of a game. You saw what the speed and athleticism of those inside linebackers did for the Tampa Bay defense. For Todd Bowles to coordinate that defense when those guys, you can't take away an inside linebacker. You can take away, or an offense can decide to throw away from a corner. You can double a edge guy and a pass rusher and eliminate him. But you can't eliminate an inside linebacker. Those guys are in the middle of the field. They play the entire field. You can't just scheme them away. And if you have playmakers at that position, it's constant. You can't take away Ray Lewis.
Right.
You can't take away those guys in Tampa Bay.
Hey, look, nobody can come on any one of our shows on The Fan and not have an opinion, not have a stance when it comes to what to do at the quarterback position. So I want to find out what yours is. That plus, is Nikola Jokic already the greatest nugget of them all? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Chad Brown in for Stink. Well, you can't sit in this chair that you're in.
I can't.
You can, but not without fulfilling your end of the bargain. And that bargain is, you have to tell all of us. Everyone must know, etched in concrete, what your plan is at the quarterback position. You have to establish yourself by saying, this is what I believe in. But what do you believe in, Chad?
Okay, I believe that you still should try to pursue Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity to have a quarterback who's just beginning to hit his prime, you can do that for the next 10 years with him. He becomes that Peyton Manning-esque rising tide that brings free agents in, that makes this a much more attractive destination for those kind of guys. With Deshaun Watson, you can do that. Yeah, tell me about this free agent receiver who's like, man, just give me some Drew Lock. Just give me Drew Lock, and I'm going to be happy out there in Denver.
Right.
So you need that kind of thing. Now, are you willing to give up the capital to make it all happen? And if you're George Payton, you're fighting the tyranny of the urgent versus the important. It's urgent that you improve this entire roster, but it's important you have a guy behind center that the entire organization believes in and trusts. You've already proven that you don't trust him because you were in pursuit after Matthew Stafford.
Okay, that's the easy part. What you're saying is the easy part. I don't think there's anybody on this station, I don't think there's anybody in Broncos country who does not believe the Broncos shouldn't at least make a run at Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Now, once it gets to how much the asking price ultimately be, well, then we can debate it. But nobody denies the fact they should be in on him. Okay, put that aside. Back burner stuff. Then what do you do?
Then what do you do?
Right. Then what do you do? Because that's the more realistic part of this discussion.
Then what do you do? Okay. I suppose you look at the draft, and you begin to evaluate the quarterbacks. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is going to go one.
Mm-hmm.
I know people are, trying to push up the kid from BYU, Zach Wilson, but I don't think he's quite in the same ballpark. I did Alabama game. Mac Jones was awesome with 20 first rounders operating around him. Heisman Trophy winner was the third receiver when I called that game early in the season against Texas A&M. That's how good and stacked that roster was. So can anyone look good there? Most likely. But Mac Jones has got some pretty Tom Brady-esque things about him that are really easy to like.
No less an authority than Tua Tagovailoa came out the other day and said Mac Jones is a more mobile Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know
if I'd want to saddle the kid with that kind of comparison right away, but...
No, I haven't dived into these top four quarterbacks as deeply as I will over the next couple of weeks as this talk continues to heat up.
But nobody's blowing you away yet.
No.
Okay.
Outside of Trevor Lawrence, but Trevor Lawrence
is not
going to be available.
In the conversation, right.
So then the third option then becomes, who is this veteran that I can bring in who can quote-unquote compete, but really becomes a mentor? We can't have Brett Rypien being Drew Locke's mentor any longer. That's ridiculous.
Nor can we have Jeff Driscoll.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
When they were having those conversations about how much Brett Rypien helps him, I thought, literally, the blind are leading the blind here. this is what you guys are chalking up to mentorship in the quarterback room. And I understand Brett Rypien can be a guy who's going to be a future coach and understands the X's and O's. But until you're Josh McCown or you're Ryan Fitzpatrick and you've actually been through the wars, those are the guys who have the wisdom and the sage advice that a guy like Drew Locke could really use. When he comes back to the sideline and throws an interception, what does Brett Rypien say? What can Brett Rypien actually say that's truly useful? I guess you didn't see the safety there. You know, versus Josh McCown is going to have something probably a little witty, maybe even kind of funny, and, you know, maybe even self-deprecating along the way.
About the time I did that.
Right, you know,
that
right. Those right. kind of conversations that Ryan Fitzpatrick, that Andy Dalton, that Josh McCown, those are the conversations that Drew Locke needs to help step forward.
All right, we'll continue this conversation as we roll on. Don't forget, Troy Rank will join us coming up in about 25 minutes. Gotta give a shout out to what Nikola Jokic did yesterday. His 50th career triple double in a signature win. The Bubble Nuggets are back with a dominating performance. Back to back nights, they were playing on the road against a Milwaukee team that was at home, rested, and the Nuggets throttled them. And Nikola Jokic going head to head with the Greek Freak dominated. 50th career triple double. He becomes only the second center ever to reach 50 career triple-doubles, joining Wilt Chamberlain, who had 78, and Jokic is only 26, so he's going to surpass that. I mean, he's racking up triple-doubles the way that Wilt Chamberlain used to rack up, well, never mind.
You were going with that?
You get the
point. Hey. Okay.
That's how prolific Nikola Jokic is when it comes to triple-doubles. When it comes to triple-doubles. Jokic, by the way, only the ninth player in history to record 50 triple-doubles, and only Magic Johnson and Oscar Robertson did it faster than him. So, I raise the question. Is Nikola Jokic at age 26 already the greatest Nugget ever?
Absolutely.
My top five Nuggets.
Okay, you got the short list. You got Alex English, Carmelo Anthony, Dikembe, David Thompson, Dan Issel, Fat Lever. I don't think I'm leaving anybody out.
Yeah, I think you're good there. Dan Issel, he's past Dan Issel.
Yep.
And all this is taken with a grain of salt because I always value longevity and your ability to sustain your greatness for a long period of time. So, you know, guys like Dan Issel who did it for 718 games with the Nuggets, I know that's a harsh pill to swallow if you value longevity. But just from a pure trajectory standpoint, yeah, the Joker's going to pass him up. David Thompson, yes. Dikembe was such a defensive-minded player. The Joker with the offensive prowess just passes him up. Now we're left with the top two, Carmelo and Alex English. And I think that's a conversation worth having. Now, I don't know if he's past those guys just yet, but he's in the top three for me.
I've already seen enough. I think he's the greatest. Never mind those numbers I just threw out, but it's the fact that He makes people around him better. Alex English was a scorer. Carmelo Anthony, Carmelo Anthony was a scorer. Carmelo Anthony was a ball stopper. Great scorer, but he didn't make people around him better like Jokic does. Jokic, just by the unselfishness that he displays, if you're getting a triple-double like this, that includes assists. Double-digit assists. You're making people better in addition to being a prolific scorer. So, to me, and now you've added in, and he's taken his team to the Western Conference Finals. And there is something, you know, somebody got on me earlier today, like, you know, hard to believe, Evans, that there was a time you didn't think he was a superstar. No, I don't. I think superstar is the most watered-down term in the NBA today. They've completely watered down. Everything I need to know about how they've watered down the term superstar is when Michael Wilbon of ESPN referred to Devin Booker as a superstar. He's not a superstar, okay? If you want to call him an all-star, a really good player, fine. But, you know, I'm a little bit stingy when it comes to handing out the superstar label. But, you know, it is, whether you like it or not, it is tied to not only your individual performance, but it's also tied to where your team goes.
Right.
And I think if you just look at Jokic's play compared to even a year ago, you can clearly see the difference, how he's elevated to another level. Now add in the fact that the team went to the Western Conference Finals and how he performed in that kind of setting. Yeah, there's no doubt he's a superstar. He's a superstar. He's one of only a handful of superstars in the NBA today. And to me, I think he's the greatest nugget of them all.
I won't fight you.
All right, we'll fight. It's going to be a close fight. No, it's not. All right, four down territory coming up next.
And he's loose!
This is four down territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
You want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get
on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
You need a safety that has good range, and it's not just like that in-the-box safety. In fact, I know Matt Rhule of Carolina brought the words in from college that it's a positionless player that you have, because sometimes he's a safety, sometimes he's a linebacker, sometimes he's a slot cornerback. But Justin Simmons is really good, and I think it's at the top of the list as far as safeties this year.
All right, there is John Clayton, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, and check out all the great stuff he has there. Talking about Justin Simmons, Chad Brown in for Stink, who's off today. Overall, when it comes to Broncos free agency, Simmons, Von Miller, Shelby Harris. I thought the Drive had a really good conversation yesterday about the running back room and what to do there with Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. Do you go out, do you get a Mark Ingram in free agency, or do you draft a running back? Mark Kisla, the Denver Post, suggested using the 9th overall pick on Najee Harris from Alabama. All right.
I love you, kid.
Yeah, you'll take running back that high. No way. But let's start with your fellow CU guy, Philip Lindsay. What do you do with him? Do you tender him? Do you bring him back? Or do you say, thanks a lot, Philip, we can find plenty of running backs out there like you?
I'd like to see Philip go someplace else, get a fresh start, and somebody who's going to use him in a way that suits his skill set the best. I think to run Philip in between the tackles, it's just not. I think he's more than willing. I think he's got a physical mind, but obviously he's limited from a size perspective. And then where this thing came up, where he doesn't catch the ball well, it feels a little bit disingenuous and ridiculous sometimes. Is he the best receiving back? No, he's not, but I think he's more than capable. And if you utilize him in that way, I think he could be that guy. So my thing for Philip, partially because I want him to have success, is to go someplace where you get a fresh start without all these other preconceived notions about him and be utilized in a way that maximizes his skill set.
I find myself, whenever we have these conversations about the running backs, I guess I'm in the minority. I like Melvin Gordon. I don't have a problem with Melvin Gordon. I thought Melvin Gordon was a good, solid, productive
delivered as advertised type player last year, and I'm not in a hurry to move on from him.
No, I don't dislike Melvin Gordon. I dislike the deal. I think they overpaid for what they're getting. But is Melvin Gordon the player a disappointment? No, not really.
Next in four down territory.
Down. I've obviously seen his career. He's had an unbelievable career. He's an incredible athlete, and what he's been able to accomplish, he's been a winner at every stage of his life. That's not a coincidence. You're a winner because of the way that you work and because of the aura that you give off and because of the talent that you have. And I think that he has all of those things, and he's going to continue to win and continue to have success. And that's a part of the reason that I'm here. I told him yesterday in Texas, I'm here because I believe in you.
So J.J. Watt, in explaining why he joined the Arizona Cardinals, said it was an incredible recruiting pitch. They came at me from all angles. But he said he was really drawn to the idea of playing with Kyler Murray. And I'm sure he's also intrigued by the idea of lining up alongside Chandler Jones and having a guy like Buda Baker back there. You know, my initial reaction to the deal was, he's just chasing dollar signs. But the more I had a chance to kind of, you know, examine it and think about it and read and then look at it yesterday, I don't know, Arizona might be, to use a George Payton term, a sleeping giant. Especially since that division now, I look at that NFC West a little differently now. The Rams don't feel like the Rams. Who knows what's going on with Russell Wilson in Seattle right now.
Right.
And San Francisco, I mean, boy, are they making it pretty clear that they don't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I don't think J.J. Watt is trying to sell us something because he wanted to chase the money in Arizona. I think he looks at what they have in place there and recognizes that there are pieces that can lead to winning. Are they leapfrogging Tampa Bay to be the number one Super Bowl contender? No, they're not. But you got three good pass rushers. You got an all-pro safety. You got one of the best receivers in the game. You got a young and up-and-coming quarterback. You got an aggressive GM. Those are all pieces that are positives. And you got a coach who, if he can kind of restrain some of his need to be a genius, is one of the better play callers in the league. So I'm with J.J. Watt. They're creating something good there. Whether it's a Super Bowl contender, we'll have to see, but they're certainly on the right track.
Boy, you look at those pieces on defense. All of a sudden, Vance Joseph in a position to really have himself a year, maybe put himself back into the head coaching talk.
It's possible.
Having the time of his life.
All right, next in four down territory.
Down.
Wants to take a shot from Sacro, have a complete pal by side, turning a field, looking for the end zone. Did he get there? He did. Touchdown. Cornell Powell in the end zone.
Clemson Tigers radio, Trevor Lawrence coming out yesterday and saying that his rehab from left shoulder surgery is going better than expected. He said, I actually feel way better than I thought I would at this point. Is Trevor Lawrence perhaps feeling a little bit of the heat out there? I mean, everybody seems to be talking about Zach Wilson, the darling. Some people are, our very own Cecil Lammy, saying that there are some teams out there who genuinely believe Zach Wilson's a better pro prospect than Trevor Lawrence. You think this is just his way of saying, hey, hello, don't forget about me?
No.
I've been the consensus number one guy for years now.
I think it's easy to see the number one guy and then try to poke holes in his game. And the number two guy to elevate him over number one. I mean, obviously, when people do that, it gets clicks. It gets listens. I think Zach Wilson is a fine player. But Trevor Lawrence did it at the highest level for a number of years in college football. He is the consensus overall number one pick. I think if you poll all 32 GMs and there's no smoke screens trying to be put up, he is the first choice for all 32.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
When you get your hands on one of those trophies, there are a lot of really sharp edges on the bottom, you know, where the stand is. Obviously, the ball is what it is. But and then I found out later that had that been an incomplete pass, that would have went down like 80 feet.
Tom Brady on the James Corden show last night, talking about the now infamous trophy toss when he was just loaded.
Tommy Tequila.
Yeah. I thought it was hilarious, the reaction, and even the, what, the daughter, the granddaughter of the creator of the trophy was all aghast.
Oh, my goodness.
Do people, if you want to see a trophy that gets put through the ringer, go research, go Google the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And some of the adventures that the Stanley Cup has been on. I mean, the Stanley Cup is sitting back looking at all this Tom Brady story and going, please, child, please.
I think the Lombardi Trophy is special. It is a sacred image. But the trophy itself, yes, it gets handled and passed around and kissed and rubbed and petted. And to Tom Brady's point, occasionally tossed, soft toss. It wasn't from 40 yards away. He didn't throw it recklessly. He tossed it to a guy who he knew would catch it. Mm. I took no offense, nor do I think the granddaughter of the designer should have taken offense and went to the media to complain about this and demand an apology. Mm. Are you kidding me? We're in the middle of a pandemic. Yeah. You demand an apology about the feelings for a trophy?
Yeah. What did you do with the times you had the trophy?
I did nothing. Oh, I didn't have the trophy. Right. Mm. It was going so well today, Mike.
Right.
It was going
awkward,
so
well. I forgot.
I did handle the national championship trophy.
No, I'm joking. I know. That's just me being a bit of a smartass.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
One of those too soon moments?
No. It never goes away. You know, it will always be too soon or too late.
I know.
Every year I watch my Steelers lose to the Cowboys. The week before the Super Bowl, when the NFL Network replays all the old Super Bowls.
Yeah.
We lose every time.
You lose every time.
I watch and I expect us to find a way to win.
This is the time it's going to be different.
We never win.
If I'm going to make a play here.
Yes.
Change the whole outcome.
Yes.
All right, that'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Chad Brown, good sport, sitting in for Stink. Another good sport, Troy Rank joins us next. Yeah, I was busting your chops good-naturedly about having never won a Super Bowl, but you and I were just talking about, and you talk about all the things that can impact a career. And you were telling me about what happened to you in 06, where you very easily, if not for a different set of circumstances, would have won a Super Bowl and retired going out on top. Just share that really quick. That was kind of cool.
All right, so I go to training camp in 06 with the Patriots. In the offseason, Bill calls me up and says, you know, because after my 13th year, I retired. And so Bill calls me up and says, we want you to come back. I want you to play third down linebacker, you know, kind of be a coverage guy. You did good in that role late in the season before for us. I ended up being released with the last cuts because I broke my hand during training camp, and they were going to bring me back once I was healthy. I ended up signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. After a couple of weeks there, they get over their injury bug with the linebackers. I asked Bill Cowher to release me so I can go back to New England. Bill says, yeah, we'll get that done in a couple of weeks. We go out to play Oakland. A couple of linebackers get some knee injuries. Bill Cowher comes to me after the game and says, I'm going to need you for the rest of the season. So I'm unable to go back and play this role that I had kind of carved out with the Patriots. The Patriots play the Colts in the championship game. Dallas Clark and Peyton Manning hooked up for six catches, like 130 yards. I would have been responsible for guarding Dallas Clark. I think I would have done a much better job than the linebacker the Patriots put on him. I could have been the difference in that game, taking the Patriots back to the Super Bowl again.
And they probably would have won it.
They probably would have won it.
Because that was the year that Indy beat Chicago.
Yes.
So New England probably wins the Super Bowl. You get your ring.
And I get to retire.
And you get to retire.
I go back. Yes. Now, of course, you know.
And then guys like me aren't making smart-out comments about you never having won a Super Bowl.
And then one more quick one. And then before year 15, I go out to New York Giants. They want me to play middle linebacker for them in my 15th season. I turn them down. I go back to New England. Who beat us in the Super Bowl?
The Giants.
The Giants.
Ah, jeez. If only. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Does Troy Rank have any big life regrets like that, Troy?
Jim, I may have to take Chad Brown to Vegas. You got the wrong here, Chad. He had a great career. No, I don't really in that regard. I just, you know, my career took a few weird paths. Took longer to get to where I wanted to go, but I don't have anything like that where it would have amounted to a Super Bowl ring. People don't realize how hard it is to play professional sports and then to have an opportunity to win a championship. I mean, the number of people that can claim that, it's very, very small, but doesn't diminish Chad's career, certainly.
All right, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Got a couple of different topics I want to bounce off you, starting with the J.J. Watt to Arizona move. What do you forecast this meaning for what the Broncos do with Von Miller?
No, so does it impact Miller and his future with the Broncos? Not exactly, but it does form some parameters on what the money would look like, because J.J. Watt is a fascinating comp to Von Miller. They both turned 32 this month. They both have had similar production in terms of Watt, you know, a two-time defensive player of the year, dealt with injuries. Vaughn, their sack total is similar, and Vaughn has Super Bowl 50 MVP. So very similar. And it shows Vaughn kind of probably what he could get on an open market. And so then as the Broncos have to look at this, every dollar counts. It always does. And every dollar counts when they want to make move on from a player. It doesn't necessarily count if you want the player back 100%. But because it's taking this long, clearly there's interest in bringing him back. And that's why I keep saying it's 50-50. But if you go to him and ask for a pay cut and you don't really need it for the cap, will that allow him to say, you know what, I want to test free agency. Never done it. I want my chance. Peyton Manning was a free agent once. So that's part of it. Or does Vaughn look at it and go, is it enough money to turn down to not be able to finish my career as a legacy player here? Does that matter to him over a couple million dollars? You know, it's easy to say it's not my money. And I do expect his off-field issue regarding the Parker police to be resolved possibly by this week, certainly in the next couple of weeks. So that could help him, if not with the Broncos, then another team, to have some type of resolution in that situation. So does it help them with what happened to Watt? It just kind of gives you some parameters of what money would be like, but it hasn't shaped their decision.
Troy, obviously, I'm sitting in the seat here where I am contractually obligated to talk about the quarterback position.
Yes, you are.
Since you are calling in during a football segment, you are now obligated to talk about the quarterback position. Deshaun Watson, Drew Locke, how do you see this thing playing out? Or what's the current reading of the tea leaves on how it's going to play out for the Broncos at that most valuable position?
Yeah, I found it fascinating that John McClain in the Houston Chronicle said it was time to move, you know, and trade Deshaun Watson, because that John was, and John's fantastic at his job. He was all the way on the other end when this first started, that you're never trading him. It's not going to happen. It's time to move him. And so I do think eventually the Texans and the stare down with Watson, they do trade him. Now they're not even considering it right now, but the problem the Broncos could run into with that, Chad, is that I think that deadline to trade him is the night before the draft or the day of the first round of the draft. Because that's when you have to move him if you're going to get max value. Now, you could have him sit out a season and say, oh, he won't lose any value, but it's a horrible look. And your team stinks. Now you don't have the quarterback, a guy sitting out, and everyone in the league's looking at this. Because I act like that wouldn't impact, you know, the perception of your franchise and how players wanting to go there, I think, is naive. But where does it sit? That they would be in on Watson if he becomes available, but they may need to go get a veteran. You know, when March 15th, you can talk to him to protect himself. Is that Mitch Trubisky? Is that Dalton? Is that, you know, a Minshew type? I mean, pick it, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'd say Trubisky, Ryan Fitzpatrick would probably be close to the top of my list in terms of guys they would have interest in. Not me. I'm just saying the guys they would have interest in. Drew Lock's got a thick skin. He's working out hard. He knows he has to get better. His completion percentage, his turnovers were not good enough last year. He understands that. I would caution fans to think that this huge jump in year three is inevitable, because I don't think the offseason is going to be as normal as people think it is. I don't think they're going to be normal in April. They probably will have some more workouts, and it looks like we'll have a preseason. But I wouldn't say that, oh, everything's going to be perfect offseason, and then here we go. that's probably not going to be the case, at least in April. So where do they stand? The most likely scenario remains veteran quarterback to compete with Drew Lock in camp with an eye and a wandering eye, if you will, on Deshaun Watson's situation.
Visit with Troy Rank. Troy, I am using this morning, the morning after Nikola Jokic became only the second center to ever reach 50 career triple-doubles, joining the great Wilt Chamberlain, who had 78, to say that Nikola Jokic, in my opinion, is the greatest nugget of them all. Chad's given me some pushback when it comes to Melo, and especially Alex English. What say you?
I mean, the greatest nugget I ever saw was David Thompson, in terms of just absolutely electric player, better than everybody on the floor every night. I mean, unfortunately, his career was cut short, but I mean, he was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan. I mean, he was that good. He just, his career just got cut short. Is Jokic the best player in Nuggets history? I mean, I grew up in the 80s, so I'm with Chad. I can't put him in front of Alex English yet. Is he a better player than Alex? He is, because Alex was more of a one-dimensional scorer. I just, if all that Nikola has to do it is for like two more years for me, just to have that body of work. There's never been a player like him in Denver, and there's really never been a player like him in the NBA when it comes to a big man and his ability to pass. I mean, he's got 50 triple doubles. So I'm not going to put up a strong argument against you, Mike, that he's the greatest Nugget ever. You know, you have to remember those Nuggets teams with English and Vandeweghe and Issel. They won a lot of games, and they were right. If not for the Lakers, they would have won an NBA championship. This Nuggets team needs a little of that with Nikola, and that's not necessarily his fault. But I think in a couple years, this argument will be easy to say he's clearly the guy.
Yeah, for context, Alex English played 11 seasons with the Nuggets, and Nikola Jokic is in his sixth season. Last one, I know this is not exactly a news bulletin to you, but it did kind of go out a little nationally. John Heyman from MLB Network said yesterday that the Rockies are said not to have the budget for any big signing at the moment. So barring some big change, there won't be an extension coming anytime soon for superstar shortstop Trevor Story. Do you expect Trevor Story to be dealt this season?
I do. That's an easy answer. And John's really good at his job. It's not only that they don't want to spend the money, whether they have it or not, you know, that's maybe semantics. The teams kind of all have it, depending on how they want to do their budgets. But, I mean, the Rockies, more than most teams, took a huge hit with lack of attendance. They rely on that more than most teams and how they do and construct their payroll and their business model. But the reality is, and, you know, in talking to people in the industry, why would Trevor Story take the deal? Let's say that they come to him and say, well, I'm going to give you $250 million, whatever. He can say no. After what happened with Tulo and what happened with Arenado, does he want to be the face of this franchise? It ended poorly in both cases. That you become the object of scorn and blame for everything that goes wrong for a team that really can't pitch, even though you're not a pitcher. And Trevor Story, and I think people lose sight of it. He's one of the top 10 players in baseball. He doesn't need the Rockies' money. He can wait and just say, because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Nolan's case was a little earlier, is a little different, and Nolan thought, you know, naively that they were going to try to keep winning. Trevor's seen all that, trust me. The idea that they don't have the money to offer him, that's probably fair. The second part of that question is, why would he take it if they did offer him? Just force him to trade him, and then he can go sign with the Rangers where he's from or go sign with some other team in the offseason and play where he wants to play as a free agent.
Saw a spring training highlight yesterday of Nolan Arenado lining a single to right, driving in a run. Boy, he does look good in that Cardinal red. He does look good. It pains me to say it, but he looks good.
They've been in the playoffs, what, 8 straight years? I mean, that's the thing about St. Louis. You wake up every year and you're going to be in it. You may not win it, but it was like when we covered the Broncos before these last 5 years. I mean, the Broncos, for the better part of 30 years, every year they felt like they were in it. And that's an amazing feeling for a baseball player in a 162-game season, because those seasons, April, August, and September, get really long when your team's 25 out. And no matter even if you get to hit at Coors Field and play in Denver, that gets old after a while when you look up at the standings and have no chance.
All right, Troy, great stuff. Good insight as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Troy.
Yep.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. He is presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Now, I caught some flack. Some people are like, wow, Evans, you're a real Richard Nine for making that jab at Chad for never winning the Super Bowl. Huh. You think my level was Richard Nine? Check out this text. Hey, maybe Chad would have gotten a Super Bowl ring had they allowed five downs in the NFL.
Oh. Wow.
Ouch. Even I'm cringing at that. Even I'm cringing at that one. Woo!
I'm just going to let that roll right off.
Wow.
I've got a ring with...
That is next level.
Number one, and it's made in diamonds, so...
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.